Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, let me hear you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to take this time to say thank you. I thank you, Father God, because I can't really live without you. I can't really breathe without you. I can't really move without you in my life. Yes, we might exist before we come to you, Lord Jesus, but once we get in you, we really know that we can't live without you. Hallelujah. So, Father God, I ask you to forgive us for our sins. I ask you to forgive us for our shortcomings, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive us for everything that we said, done, thought, or neglected to do, Lord God, that was not pleasing in your sight. Father, I ask you, in the name of Jesus, to send your Holy Spirit to this broadcast. Father, you have empowered me to go forth in your anointing. Father God, and I pray that that same anointing that you have empowered me with will come forth in this broadcast on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for souls to be saved, Father God. I pray for people to be delivered. I pray for people to be set free from every yoke, every bondage, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, because your word says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And I thank you on tonight that we are free, hallelujah, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, Lord God, that we are free tonight because of the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. And Father, I just want to say thank you right now, God. I want to bless your name, Lord God. I want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord God, and I just praise your holy name. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries broadcast on tonight. I am your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. And for those in the chat room, if you'd like to call, because this is open forum, if you'd like to call, please dial area code 323-693-3054. And I'd love for you to come on the air and we can talk tonight. And tonight's broadcast is about being free. Being free. Freedom in Christ Jesus. Being free. Freedom in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Freedom in the Spirit. And I can talk about this topic with authority because I have been one who has been free and then bound again and then free and then bound again and then free and then bound again, all because I didn't hold on to my liberty where I was set free in Christ Jesus. I didn't hold on to that liberty, so I went back in bondage because of my own self looking at the circumstance and the situation, or I went back into bondage because I just didn't pray, I didn't trust God, I didn't believe God, so I went back into bondage, or I was just plain old in sin and went back into bondage, just, you know, turned my back on God and, you know, picked that sin back up or picked up another sin, you know, and which puts me into bondage because, you know, if you open up the door for sin, you're giving Satan a right to really do what he want to do. When you open up the door for sin, you're just saying to God, you know, at this moment, at least that's what I said, you know, basically, I don't trust you. I don't believe my situation is going to change. I don't believe you're going to do anything to help me. I just want to do what I want to do. And because you're not answering me fast enough, you know, and the answers that you are giving me are not the answers that I want, you know, so I had chosen to go back into bondage, back into sin, because God wasn't doing what I wanted him to do when I wanted him to do it. And a lot of people are in that same situation. I'm sure it's not just me. I think that if you would be honest with yourself, that you would be able to say that you too have backslidden. You too have gone back into bondage because God didn't give you the favorable answer that you were looking for, or God didn't agree with your situation or your circumstance. So you decided, well, you know what, God, since you're not answering me, since you're, you know, seeming like you're ignoring me, then I don't want to be bothered, so I'm just going to go out here and do what I want to do. And that's a dangerous, 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 dangerous place to be. Trust me, I've been there, I've done that, so I know what I'm talking about. I have turned my back on God, and I like when my husband says, you know, he can pick up the phone and tell me because I always mess up. Grace is, honey, you're on the line. Grace is, let me see. We know that it's unmerited favor, but honey, say what grace is and mercy.
Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. In essence, God's grace, he gives us things that we don't really deserve. And then his mercy is he doesn't use his judgment against us as he should.
Well, I thank God for that, because there's things that I know that I should have been getting a stiffer penalty than I've gotten. There's things that I've done that, you know, I thank God that his grace and his mercy did kick in, because for real, if mercy didn't plead my case, I don't know where I would be right now. If mercy hadn't pleaded my case, I really, really honestly can say I do not know where I would be right now. But I thank God for his mercy and for his grace, because if he really came down upon us like he did in the Old Testament, I'm telling you, we would be in trouble. I was listening to a pastor today on, I believe it was the Church Channel, and he was saying how, you know, the people of the Israelites were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and while they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, well, they had it on the chariots, with the horses were carrying it, but they hit a bump or something, and the Ark of the Covenant was about to hit the ground, and somebody reached to grab it before it hit the ground, and they were killed instantly. They were just killed, all because they were trying to help the Ark of the Covenant keep it from hitting the ground. But if God said, don't touch it, then he meant just that, don't touch it. And sometimes God tells us to do things. He'll say, don't touch that, don't eat that, don't look at that, don't do that, don't go here, don't say that. And we'll do it anyway. We'll do it anyway. And then we wonder why we're back in bondage. We wonder why things are not going the way that they're supposed to be going, because we have done something that God has specifically told us not to do. And we want to address these things tonight, because a lot of times people are in bondage, but they don't want to be truthful about why they're in bondage. They don't want to tell the truth as to, they don't want to acknowledge their part in why they are in bondage. When I know when I was in bondage, and one particular time that I want to talk about was when I was in bondage, when I was in a marriage that I was not even supposed to be in. I went into this marriage. God was showing me signs. People were saying things to me, and I chose to ignore what they were saying. I chose to ignore what God was saying to me. I chose to ignore what I was actually seeing with my old two eyes and actually was living my own self. I chose to ignore that and chose to get married anyway. Why? Because I was living in my flesh. I wasn't just operating in the flesh at that moment. I was living according to the lust of my flesh. I was living, you know, that life. I was fornicating. I was shacking up. You know, I was smoking. I was drinking. I was doing everything that I was big enough to do. But yet I called myself a Christian. I was still in church. I was going to church every Sunday. I was, you know, on the usher board. I was on the choir. I was doing everything that you do in church. But outside of the four walls of the church, I was living a whole nother life. And I would go to church, and I would go to the altar, and I would ask for prayer. I would, you know, they would pray the prayer of deliverance. They would pray the prayer of forgiveness, you know, for me, and tell me to repent or whatever. And when I left the church, I left there no better than I went in, because I was still doing the same thing that I was doing before I went into the four doors of the church. So I said all of that to say that we don't want to acknowledge that we participate in our bondage sometimes. We participate in things that cause us to be bound. Now, I already knew fornication was wrong in the sight of God. I knew it was wrong, but because I was living in my flesh at the time, I kind of cared, but I really didn't care. So God hadn't struck me down while I was living in my sin. So I'm like, maybe he don't care, or I just don't care that he care. I didn't really care. I was just living my life. Excuse me. So I participated in my own bondage. The 2 years of hell that I went through in that marriage relationship, I went through that, and I caused that upon myself. It wasn't God's fault, because God was warning me not to even get into that relationship. So it wasn't his fault that I was in bondage. It was my fault that I was in bondage, because I refused to listen to anything that the Holy Spirit was telling me and that his servants were telling me, and I refused to listen and look at the warning signs that were right there in my face. So I participated in my own bondage. There's another time that I was in bondage. I was bound by unforgiveness. I refused to forgive certain people in my life because of the things that they did. I refused to forgive them as if holding on to unforgiveness was hurting them. They had moved on with their lives, but I was in bondage. I was still stuck. I was the one that couldn't move on in the spirit because I was holding on to unforgiveness. Actually, it was even more than unforgiveness. It was hate. I hated these people for what they had done to me. I hated them, and I wanted them, you know, I wanted the worst things to happen to them. Every time their name would come up in my mind, I would wish something bad would happen to them. You know, I would, those kind of things that I would do. But I was in bondage. And again,
I was going to church every Sunday. I was in Bible study every Wednesday. Everything that it was to do in church, I was doing that. I was going above and beyond, doing everything within those four walls that I could possibly do. But I was holding on to hate and resentment. I held on to that unforgiveness for so long. I don't know how many blessings of God that I missed because I was walking in so much hate and unforgiveness and resentment. And then one day God had to speak. I mean, he had been speaking to my heart before, but I was just not ready to let go of that. It felt good to me to hold on to that hate. It felt good to me to hold on to that unforgiveness and that resentment. But all the time I was hurting myself. I was in bondage. And I was causing myself to be in bondage. Excuse me. Because at any time, I could have just said, you know what, Lord? I had enough. I'm just going to forgive them. I asked you to help me to forgive them because you know what they did. Lord God, you know what they did. But God, I choose to let this go. And on the day that I chose to let it go, it hurt. It hurt. I remember I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried out to God. I said, God, enough. I've had enough. I just want to forgive them. Not only did I choose to forgive for myself, excuse me, I chose to forgive because other people were involved. And I could not go any further in helping them because I was bound. And I crack myself up. And sometimes people crack me up because I look and I see, like, you're really trying to help me, but you're stuck right there. You're right there and you can't go any further. You're stuck right there, but you're trying to tell me how to get out of bondage, but yet you're still in bondage. And I tell you, it's not worth it. Holding on to unforgiveness is not worth anything. It's just not worth it. I mean, years of bondage, years of bondage, years of bondage, just hate from my childhood. I had hate built up in my heart and resentment and anger and unforgiveness from my childhood. Then when I became an adult, people did things to me. Some of the things they did, I participated in, so I cannot fully blame them. But like I said earlier, we don't want to acknowledge our part in our bondage. We don't want to acknowledge what we did to put ourselves in bondage. So what I'm saying to you is that I participated in a lot of my bondage. I participated in it. Now, the stuff that happened to me when I was a little girl, I had nothing to do with that. It was not my choice for things to happen that happened to me when I was a little girl. So let's clear that up. But as far as me being bound, I was bound up because I chose not to forgive. I chose not to let go of that resentment and anger and hate. And as a result, not only was I in bondage spiritually, I was in bondage because I couldn't go any further. I had this mentality where I'm going to hurt anybody before they hurt me. I didn't care who it was. I'm just going to hurt you because I was hurt when I was younger, and then I was hurt when I was in my adulthood. And then, you know, so now my thing is, like, I'm just going to hurt anybody or whoever before they hurt me. Still doing myself damage, still putting myself further in bondage because now not only am I hurting myself, but I'm out there hurting other people. God truly was not pleased with that, and I know he wasn't. But guess what? At that point in my life, I didn't care. I didn't care about what God was thinking. All I knew was that I'm going to get you before you get me, okay? And I also knew that I was hurting, and some people had done some things to contribute to my hurt, so I wasn't going to forgive them. But the scriptures tell us very clearly that if we don't forgive, God's not going to forgive us. So tonight we want to go through some scriptures. So those of you that are listening in on tonight, I appreciate you for listening in. But we want to go and we want to, if you have a paper and pencil, we want to write down some scriptures. Okay, we want to write down some scriptures because it's always excellent to go back and go over the scriptures that you've been given. Okay, and I have to do the same thing myself. All right, and at this juncture, we want to talk about deliverance. See, I needed to be delivered. I needed to be delivered from myself. I needed to be delivered from anger and hate. I needed to be delivered from unforgiveness and every single thing. Let me tell you something. You got to do something. If you want to be delivered, you got to take an active part in your deliverance. You got to. Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to be free from bondage? If you want to be free, there is something that you have to do. Someone once told me that sometimes somebody could be in bondage so long that when the door to freedom opens up, instead of them walking through that door into their freedom, they're so used to being bound and caged up that they won't even walk through the door. And sometimes that's how we are. Jesus came to set us free. The Bible tells us that. Jesus, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. That's what the Word of God tells us. But we know that in our head, but we won't take advantage of the freedom that Jesus has given us when he purchased our salvation, when he purchased our redemption with his blood on the cross. We know that the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We know that the Bible says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We know that the Bible says that. But some of us just, we act like we're scared to be free. We act because being in that place of bondage has become comfortable to us. So we act like we're scared to be free. If you go out throughout the Bible, you will see that Jesus cast out demons. He cast out all kinds of spirits. He cast out spirits of sickness. He cast out spirits of those that were lame, those that were mute, okay, those that were blind. Jesus did all kinds of things. The woman with the issue of blood, the woman that had the spirit of infirmity, in Luke chapter 13. She was bound up for 18 years. She was bound up for 18 years, and some of us have been bound up in the spirit for so long, but the Spirit of God is saying to you on tonight, if you want to be free, you can be free. If you want to be free, you can be free, but you got to change your mind. You got to change your way of thinking. You got to say, God, look, I've been in this for so long, I don't even know what to do, but I want to be free. I don't want to be a prisoner to unforgiveness. I don't want to be a prisoner to sin. I don't want to be a prisoner to resentment and hate. I don't want to be a prisoner to anything. I don't want to be a servant of this stuff anymore because I'm telling you, I was so bound up, and I was self-deceived. I thought I was okay because I was going to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and Friday I would go to all-night prayer. So I thought I was okay. Me and God, we were cool, I was on the choir. I was a choir director. I was an usher. I was the assistant to the pastor. I was her driver. I worked at the school. I worked at the church. I worked at the doctor's office. I did all of that stuff, okay? But I was messed up. I was bound up. I was bound. And, all of that stuff that I was doing while I was in church, there were times where the pastor would call me out. He would call me up to the altar, and he put me on blast in front of the whole church. And I still left out of there not delivered. I think I left out of there worse than I was before because you put me on blast, but I didn't leave out of there delivered. You laid hands on me and said, come out in the name of Jesus. Whatever it was never did come out. At that point in time, it didn't come out. And then now I added something else to it because now I'm mad at you because you first called me up there and put all my business out there for everybody else to see, for everybody else to hear. Other people in the church were sinning, but you decided to call me out and put me on blast. Now I'm mad at you. I don't like you because of what you did. Now, not only am I bound up from the things that I was already bound up from, but now I'm bound up because of what you just did. You embarrassed me? Are you kidding? And I'm supposed to like you? No, I didn't. So I put another layer. And thank you, Holy Ghost. Some of us have so many layers on us that God wants to take the layers off so we can be free. Okay? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, at that moment, we're born again. We are redeemed. But there's things in us that have been piled up from years and years and years and years and years. And we just, we haven't let it go. It's time to let it go. It's time to be free. It's time to be free. There's no other way to say it. It's time to be free. it's time to be free. Now, you know what your situation is. You know what you're in bondage to. Some people are in bondage to the spirit of fornication. Some people are in bondage to adultery. Some people are in bondage to lying or stealing. Some people are in bondage to witchcraft. Some people cannot get up in the morning. I'm talking about believers. They cannot get up without reading their daily horoscope. They're in bondage to witchcraft and don't even know it. Okay? We're seeking out a horoscope when we have the true and living God who we can pray to and go to, and he will give us instruction and direction. But because we're bound up to this spirit of divination, we can't even see past that and think that this person knows more about us than God knows. These people are writing, if you read those horoscopes could be for anybody at any given time. It don't matter what your sign is. It could be for any person at that given time. And also, if you read the horoscopes, you will see that you will read those horoscopes, and a lot of those days that you read in the horoscope, whatever they're saying don't pertain to you, not one bit at all. They will say things in those horoscopes, but you and your mate are going to have a romantic night, and you don't even have a mate. How does that apply to you again? It'll say, you know, spend your money wisely today because, you know, such and such is going to happen. You don't even have any money. You know what I mean? Or it'll say something about your car, and you don't even have a car. So you're going by hit or miss with this thing when God is a sure thing. When you go to God, if your ways are pleasing unto him, and you know that you go to him and ask him anything that's according to his will, you can have it. Then why would you go to something that somebody wrote in a newspaper and they're getting paid to write, and it may or may not fit your situation anyway? If the psychics were so precise in the things that they're saying, then all of us would have hit that half a $1 billion lottery. All of us would have hit it because our psychics would have been able to tell us our number. And the psychics would be rich their own selves because they would know the numbers that's coming out. Since you're a psychic, you should know that anyway. But there's error with them. But with God, there is no error. There's never any error in God. You can go to him in prayer. You might not like what he's going to say to you, or you might not like what he has said to you. But I can guarantee you that in God, there is no error. There is no error. If we're walking around in unforgiveness, in hate, in resentment, okay, whatever the case is, we need to pray and ask God to forgive us. Because now, if you're listening to this, you are going to be held accountable for what you know. If you say you didn't know before, but you read your Bible, you knew. You know what I'm talking about right now. You're not in the dark. You're not ignorant. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, but just because we know doesn't mean that we want to do what we know. And I'm just saying. Now, John 10 and verse 11 and John 15 verse 13 say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, Jesus is a good shepherd. He gives us life. It's up to us if we want to choose life. It's up to us if we want to walk in the newness of life. It's up to us if we want to accept the greater love that he gave us, the love that he laid his life down for his friend. He laid his life down for us so we don't have to be bound up. We don't have to walk around bound. We don't have to walk around in captivity to sin. I'm telling you, when we're bound up, we're captive. When we're bound up, some people are bound up by rejection. Some people are bound up by fear. Some people are bound down by hate and just unbelief. Some people are bound by what happened to them in their past. Some people are just bound, and they don't know like really what their issue is. And they just need to go to God and need to say, God, look, it's really something wrong with me and I need you to help me. I don't know what it is, But God, whatever this is, this stronghold that is on me, God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to deliver me. I want to be delivered. I don't want to be walking around bound up. And I'm telling you this because I had to do it myself. And I still have to do it. Some things try to come right back and try to get me and keep me bound. The spirit of depression tries to come and keep me bound. I'm telling you, my mom just passed away almost 2 weeks ago. And I'm telling you, the spirit of depression came so heavy one day. It was crazy. I felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like, you know, I was leaving out of here because I kept seeing, you know, a thing kept playing over and over in my mind because I was in a room when my mom passed away. I was right there at her bedside when she passed away. And to see the things that her body went through, you know, and Satan tried to bind me up and try to keep me bound by having me keep seeing these visions, you know, not visions, but just rehearsing what I saw my mom go through while she was passing over. And I had to say, no, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I will not, in the name of Jesus, I will not be bound up with this. I will not. I refuse to be bound up with this spirit of fear and the spirit of depression. I mean, one night I was scared to go to sleep because I thought I was going to go through what my mother went through. I was so scared to go to sleep. I'm like, what is this? I can't live like this. I can't function like this. I don't want to, you know, just exist. I want to live, and I'm not going to be bound up by this. And I really actually had to say that to myself, that you, look, get it together. Get it together. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we might have life. There is no life in bondage. There is no life in bondage. I don't care who you ask that has been bound up. You ask them, is there life in bondage? And the answer is going to be no. There is no life. And people that are in prison, they can say what they want to say, but there is no life in being in prison where they tell you what time you got to go to bed. They tell you what time to get up. They tell you when you're going to eat. They tell you how much time you can play outside in the yard, if you can play outside in the yard at all. They tell you what you can and you cannot do. That's no life in that. There's no life in that. You're in prison. You know that at the end of the day, not at the end of the day, but 24 hours a day, you cannot freely walk out of that place. You cannot go to the store when you want to go to. You can't turn on your TV when you want to turn on your TV, if you have a TV at all. You can't, you know, get on your cell phone and chill and talk to your friends. You can't do any of that stuff because why? You're in prison. You're in a cell. You're in a building with bars on it where guards are ready with their guns, ready to shoot you if they even think you're trying to escape. So there's no life in being bound. Any prisoner of war can tell you there's no life in being bound. You're a slave to your captor. So whatever that is that has you captive, whatever it is that have you bound, you're a slave to it. If you're a slave to unforgiveness, you're going to walk around and you're going to look at people crazy. You're going to act crazy because you're a slave to that unforgiveness. That unforgiveness will tell you to hate anybody just because you're mad at somebody else or somebody else did something to you. That spirit of unforgiveness will have you thinking about that person that did something to you years ago. That person may have died and gone on. They might have even given their life to Christ and asked God to forgive them for what they did to you, but you're still holding on. You're still held captive by that unforgiveness, and they done moved on with their lives. Some of us are walking around, and we've been rejected in our lives. We've been rejected by our husbands, our boyfriends, or, you know, if it's a man, been rejected by some female figure in your life. And so because you've been rejected by some female figure or some male figure in your life, you just lash out at all authority. You lash out at anybody at that gender, you know, of that gender that, that same gender that messed with you when you were little or did something to you earlier in your life. So now you're lashing out at the people, you know, any person of that same gender because you haven't forgiven that person that hurt you. And you're lashing out. There's people that just, they're bound up by fear. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we have fear, you can best believe that it's not from God. you can best believe, you can mark what I say and guarantee that if you have fear, I'm not talking about the fear of God. I'm not talking about godly reverence, reverential fear. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about straight up, I'm scared. That is not from God. That is not from God. Can I tell you that? And can you believe it? Okay. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. His tender mercies are over all his works. His tender mercies can bring you out of bondage if you want to come out of bondage. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I like that because that goes back to what my husband was explaining earlier. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. God's mercies are here for us. His compassion. God is a compassionate God. If you cry out to him, I can guarantee you, if you cry out to God and not doubt, okay, and give God a chance to work it out, because it might happen, you know, as quickly as you can snap your finger, and it might be a process of time. But I can guarantee you that if you trust God, if you cry out to God, if you make your request known unto God, he will begin to heal you. He will begin to deliver you. But you got to come to a place where you say, you know what, God, I'm just sick of me. I am sick of me keeping myself in bondage. I'm sick of the enemy keeping me in bondage. God, your word says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, I want to be free because Jesus died to set me free. He died to set me free. He came to give me life that I might have life more abundantly. And you got to just begin to say what the word of God says and not be afraid to say it and not be afraid to believe it. Okay? You got to say, look, I'm just going to take authority over this thing in the name of Jesus, because as a believer, I have authority. As a believer, I have authority over everything that is not of God. As a believer, I have authority, and I take authority right now, first of all, over my own mind, in the name of Jesus. I take complete authority over my mind right now in the name of Jesus, and I will be renewed in the spirit of my mind with the word of God. I will read the word of God, and whatever the word of God says, I'm going to confess it, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to live it in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I want to be free. You got to tell your own mind that thing. You got to talk to your mind. You got to tell your mind, look, I have given you so much time of my life, and now I am not going to walk out of my own mind, but I'm going to walk in the spirit, because the Bible says if I walk in the spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of my flesh. And I'm trying to tell you that walking in this stuff is not from the spirit of God. It's ourselves. And some of this stuff, people are bound up by spirits. They have not been delivered from these spirits. Some people don't want to be delivered, which I just cannot imagine why you don't want to be delivered. But then some of us get delivered, and then when we get delivered, the Bible says when the house has been swept clean, and then you don't do nothing, you don't do anything, you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not seeking God, then seven more devils, not seven, just seven devils, but seven more spirits done come in, and now you got something else to deal with. You got eight things to deal with now. But see, when God sets you free, you're free indeed. But if you want to stay free, you got to take an active part in your freedom. You got to take an active part in you being free. I'm trying to tell you what I know. I've been there. I've done that. I know what I'm talking about. And there are times where I still have to sit there and say, Teresa, shut up. Teresa, stop it. Teresa, in the name of Jesus, you will not act that way. Teresa, in the name of Jesus, you will not. You will. And I have to say that to myself. I don't have to wait till I go to church and get somebody to lay hands on me, because as a believer, I have the authority to lay hands on myself and be set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because for real, I'm already free. For real, I'm already free. But I got to tell myself that I'm free. And for some of us, we have to confess things. We have to say it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you never pick up the Bible, if you never confess what the word of God says, if you never rehearse what the Word of God says and just say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, then how are you going to gain faith to believe that God wants you to be free? How are you going to gain faith to even say to yourself, I'm free? Somebody wrote a song that says, I'm free. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. And sometimes if you don't know what to say, God will give you a song. He'll have somebody say something to you and then let you know what? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free. And we need to be free in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to be free in the spirit. Let me tell you, so many of us are walking around in bondage and we say that we belong to the true and living God. We say we belong to the true and living God. But we don't act like we belong to the real true and living God. We really don't act like that because of the way we are, how we walk around in bondage. In bondage. In John chapter 6, verse 37 says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is Jesus talking. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's another song that comes to mind. It's called Come to Jesus. And people usually sing this on Communion Sunday, or they sing it when they're calling people up to the altar to be born again. It says, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus right now. And they'll go on with the rest of the verse. He will save you. You know, on and on and on. And sometimes we have to pull on these songs to even help us, to even help us. Can I tell you that deliverance is for the believer? Can I tell you that unforgiveness is like poison to you? Can I tell you that unforgiveness and anything that we're holding on to that is not of God is like cancer that's growing in your body? When my mom passed away, she had stage 4 cancer. They said this cancer had metastasized in her, which meant that it was spreading to throughout her body. And this is what happens when we hold on to unforgiveness and we hold on to hate and anger. It begins to metastasize in us. It begins to spread throughout our bodies. And then when we look up, you got to question yourself, am I really born again? Because we're so far gone. We're so bound up. We can't even hear from God. We don't even want to hear from God. We don't even want to be bothered with God because we're so bound up. But I'm telling you again, the Bible tells us whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus came to set us free. He came to set us free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you want to be free, then all you got to do is say, God, you sent your Son Jesus. And your word says in John, okay, John chapter 8, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Okay? John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. Now, we all know that the Word of God is the truth. Okay? But then we also got to tell the truth so we can be free. We got to tell the truth about our situation so we can be free. How you going to say, I want to be delivered from fornication, but you lying about you fornicating? I'm not fornicating. Well, why you want to be free from fornication if you're not fornicating? If you're a liar, you need to just go on and confess it and say, I'm a liar, but God, I want to be delivered from being a liar because you set me free. And I know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that all liars will have their part in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Not just liars, but I'm just talking about liars right now. But the book of Revelation teaches us that all liars, fornicators, adulterers, will have their part in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Okay? Romans 8:2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free. The law of the Spirit of life set you free through Jesus Christ. It set you free, okay? Set you free from what? The law of sin and death. When we hold on to unforgiveness, when we hold on to resentment, anger, fear, hate, whatever we're holding on to, okay, it's sin. The Bible tells us we're supposed to love one another. The Bible tells us that we need to forgive. The Bible tells us that fear is not of God. Okay, so if we're sinning, then we're separated from God. We're operating from out of another law. We're not operating under the law of the Spirit of life that has come to set us free. Now, 1 Corinthians 7:22 says, For he who was a slave, when he was called by the Lord, is the Lord's freed man. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. So you left out of bondage to sin and became a free person, but now you're a slave to righteousness. Now you're a slave to righteousness. Okay? Galatians 5:1 said it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't let yourself be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. The King James Version says, this was the New International Version that I said earlier, but the King James Bible says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's a scripture that says in Galatians, O foolish Galatians, I believe it's chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who have persuaded you to not believe the truth anymore? O foolish Galatians, who has come in and told you not to believe the truth? Who? Somebody then came in and told you something. If it wasn't a human, it was a spirit. It's time to be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Honey, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
Hello?
Yes, is there something that you wanted to add to that?
Well, yes, there is a few points. You made some great points about fear, because fear is really a sin. Fear and doubt really is saying that we don't trust God enough. We don't believe that he's able enough to answer and work out the situations in our lives. It says when we fear and doubt, it says there's no faith in that. Faith is things unseen. Faith is things hoping for things unseen, believing in things that can't be touched. It's not visibly evident always, at least in the beginning, that we have faith enough to know that God is in control, and we have faith enough to know that we're not in this thing by ourselves. The Lord said in St. Matthew chapter 6, be anxious for nothing. That means fear nothing. Be full of anxiety about nothing. Because the way I take care of the lilies of the field, the way I take care of the birds in the air, how much more are you than they? I know the Lord said, He said, you know, when we have faith, that's the only thing that pleases God. So therefore, consequently, if you lack faith, if you doubt, if you fear, if you're full of anxiety and apprehension and confusion and frustration, that's the opposite of faith. And if it's the opposite of faith, then it does not please God. Because if we, in particular, we who are believers, we understand why the world is filled with fear and trepidation. We understand why they are filled with anxiety and doubt, because they have no hope. But we have a hope. We have a Savior. We have a Deliverer who has delivered us out of so many things in our lives. I know I was thinking the other day, and if I may digress this a little bit, but I guess this too is connected to what I'm talking about and what we're talking about in this evening's forum. I was saying, you know, about healing. And I said, you know, God heals us even in our affliction. I know a lot of my friends have cerebral palsy like myself. And some of them, they said they got it because as infants coming out of their mother's womb, they lacked oxygen to the brain. Now, you know, lacking oxygen to the brain can, first of all, lead to death. It could lead to not being able to function at all, becoming a vegetative state, a comatose state, if you will. A lack of oxygen to the brain could do some dastardly things. But some of the people I'm talking about, they've accomplished a lot. One individual I'm thinking about right now, he heads an organization in the local area that really is about 1,000 strong. He's a part of an organization that number tens of thousands of people. That's a healing of sorts. You know, yes, I have cerebral palsy. I have a fused hip. But there's been times I've had pneumonia, and God delivered me from pneumonia. When my mother fell when she was carrying me, she could have fell and I could have been aborted because of the fall. You know, I fell out of a crib and I hit my head, and many believe that's where the cerebral palsy came from. Others think it came before my mother's birth. But in either case, how many children fall out of the crib or even in the crib? Sudden infant death. While they're in the crib, while they're under the blanket, and all of a sudden you walk in there, get ready to feed the baby or take the baby out for a walk, and the baby's found dead in the crib. And yet, yet I'm alive. I'm 60 years old. No, I don't walk like other people walk, and right now I can't walk virtually at all, at least not any long distance, but nevertheless, I'm alive. And it used to be an old saying, where there's life, there's hope. Where there's life, there's an opportunity to do something that will impact not only your life, but the lives of others. I look at your life, and I know that as an infant, there was contemplation of aborting you and even an actual attempt at aborting you. But the attempt was unsuccessful. Is that a healing? Is that a miracle? Of course it is. Many people are aborted, and the person doesn't even want them to be aborted. The mother doesn't even try to have anything done to the child. Don't even consider that. But because of situations and how the child is growing and the child stops breathing, we understand a young girl not long ago had that same instance. She wanted to have the baby. She was looking forward to the child. And the child passed from the scene. But here you are. Someone that could have been aborted, that should have been aborted, that had been planned to be aborted, and here you are, just recently celebrating your 48th birthday. Is that a miracle? Is that a healing? See, we look at our circumstances as they are right now. We forget about how far he's brought us from and where he's brought us to. Oh, well, I don't have this, and I'm going through that, and I have the other. But remember where you started out. You started out at a place that you didn't call your home. You started out without a family. Now you have really three children and four if you count your stepchild, and you have grandchildren and all of that type of thing. We have a life. And so these are the things that each of us, and I pause myself when I become despondent or I'm prone to become depressed. I think about where God has brought me from. And I believe that God's going to take me to some better place than where I am now. Or else maybe I should have died in the operating room when I had my first surgical procedure, when I died for a moment or two, and they revived me. And here I am. I was 13 then. Here I am, about 53 years later. 57 years later, what, 47 years later, here I am. Dead, and here I am. I had pneumonia twice, at 8 and then just last year. But here I am, and there's a reason why we're still here. I don't think it's by happenstance. I don't believe it's by coincidence. I don't believe it's a toss of the dice. I believe it's God's purpose. As I get older, I fear less and less about things. I don't fear death. I don't fear the things of life. I look forward to what God has in store for me. And for those who don't know their purpose in life yet and are looking for their purpose in life, Seek God. He will reveal your purpose in life. I always tell folk that to understand some of the purposes of your life, all you got to do is understand who you are and the things that you find of interest and the thing that you are drawn to and the things that you can't get out of your mind. And if you see it on TV, it's something that you just automatically have to watch, and you get all involved in it, and you get all wrapped up in it. If you see a starving child in Ghana or Kenya or Swaziland or wherever the place is around the world, a child in India whose belly is swollen not because they've eaten a full-blown meal but because they lack food and it's nothing but air in the stomach pocket that makes it bloated, and you feel something about it, and when it goes off, you can't, it, off the TV set after the commercial's over, and you, it just lingers with you, and you can't help yourself. You just want to do something about it, and you just can't shrug it off. That might be your purpose in life. It may be that you are supposed to be a missionary. Maybe you're supposed to give a donation. Maybe you're supposed to seek out a foster child around the world to make them your child or a pen pal to somebody. If it's pressing on your spirit to do something and you can't shake it, maybe that's your purpose. Many of us walk around satisfied with our occupations. And we never look at the purpose that God created us for. Sometimes our occupation can be our vocation, which is God's calling upon our lives. Sometimes that is the case. But many times it's a case where our occupation is the 9-to-5 job I go to make sure my lights are on and my gas is on and my rent or my mortgage is paid. But the purpose of my life is of a higher degree than just that.
Well, can we all...
We're born to help somebody. We're born to love somebody. We're born to encourage somebody. We're born to support somebody. We're born to reach out our hands and lift somebody up who's been torn down. Encourage someone who's discouraged. Give hope to someone who feels hopeless.
But we
show
can't
love
do
to
that.
Someone who seems loveless. Yes, I'm sorry.
We can't do any of that if we're walking around in bondage.
Exactly.
If we're walking around bound up in the spirit, are we walking around bound up in our minds? There's a lot of people who are walking around that have, God has given them gifts and callings. They have a purpose to do in this life for God. They have something to do that can change somebody else's life, but they can't do it because they're bound up.
I agree with that. I really do.
How many people, and I'm saying this to my shame, how many people have I missed ministering to because I was in bondage? How many people have I missed giving them the word of God so that they can be delivered because I was in bondage? Like I said earlier in the broadcast, some of the bondages that I was in was bondage that I put myself in. I can't blame Satan for it. I can't really blame other people for it. It was something that I did willfully, which placed me in bondage. And then I was in bondage for not just 1 week or 1 day or 1 month. I was in bondage for years because I didn't follow the plan of God. Okay, I'm not talking about people out in the world that don't know God. I'm talking about believers who are walking around in bondage even right now. People who are walking around in bondage even right now who call themselves believers because they don't believe the word of God. So how can I help that person who's getting ready to commit suicide if I'm depressed and I'm angry and I'm bound up with all of this stuff? That person probably might have killed themselves because I'm not in my rightful place. Okay? This is why as believers we need to make sure that we check ourselves. We need to make sure that we ask God on a regular basis, if not a daily basis, God, is there anything in me that I need to be delivered from? God, what is anything that's keeping me from doing your will? Because I want to be used by you. It's not about us. It's about other people. What we go through can bring so many people out of bondage. Just like you yourself, you said that you have cerebral palsy. You were born with cerebral palsy. When I met you, you had cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is not something that there is a cure for. It is a birth defect that, unless you get a miracle, I mean a bona fide miracle, that's something that you're going to leave this earth with. But
It depends on how you look at it. Or any disease or any disability. People, you have people that can go through the same disability, but that disability has them in bondage. That challenge has them in bondage. And now it's not a physical challenge to them, but it is a disability, because now you're telling me I'm not able. And some people are so bound to that they have really believed in their own mind that they are not able. And instead of coming to Jesus, who is the source of setting them free, and even if you don't get healed in your body, he can take you out of bondage in your mind that keeps telling you that you're bound and you can't do nothing. But instead of turning to the Most High God, they turn to alcohol, drugs, you know, all kind of things that are not of God, instead of turning to the true and living God. You've seen it yourself. You've seen people in wheelchairs rolling down the street getting high. You've seen people in wheelchairs rolling down the street drinking a 40. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is that they're doing. You've seen that. But God has blessed you and brought you out of your own bondage in your mind, even though from a child you've been preaching the word of God. From 12 years old, you've been actually, even before then, but publicly since 12 years old, you've been preaching the word of God. Now you can tell people, and people listen to you now, even when you went to that Night of Hope recently. People were looking at you like, wow, this is coming from this man sitting in this wheelchair. Like, it was unbelievable to some of the people how God uses you. And that was a chance for you to minister to them about the goodness of God. It was your opportunity. But a lot, if you would have been in bondage, you would have been depressed and, you know, holding on to resentment and all of that stuff, you wouldn't have been able to been used effectively on that particular, you might not even been there. Okay? If you was caught up in unforgiveness and you were depressed and you had all that, you probably wouldn't even been there. First of all, when, you know, people are depressed, they like to stay in a room where it's dark. They like to be to themselves. They don't like to be around nobody else. So chances are you wouldn't have been there anyway. But God is using you in your physical challenge to be able to minister to people who are going through similar challenges, or might not even be going through that kind of challenge at all, but might be going through something else. And they can say, well, man, this man is sitting in a wheelchair. He has limited use of his legs. He has only used, really, a good use of one of his hands. You know, of the two that he has, he only has limited use of one of them. But look at him. He's still preaching the gospel. Look at him. He's still got a smile on his face. Everywhere he go, he's jolly. He's talking to people. Yeah, he might have some issues now and then, but he doesn't let them, you know, imprison him. And a lot of people are just walking around in bondage and in prison. And God is asking us, all of us, do you want to be free? Do you want to be made whole? If you go through the scripture, and you will see sometimes Jesus will ask the people, will thou be made whole?
Amen.
And that's a question that he's asking tonight. Will thou be made whole? If you're depressed, will you be made whole? If you're angry, will thou be made whole? If you're a liar, will thou be made whole? If whatever the case, if you're holding on to unforgiveness, if you're holding on to resentment, if you're holding on to strife, whatever it is, will thou be made whole tonight? Even to those that have not been born again yet, will thou be made whole by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Will you be made whole on tonight? That's the question that each one of us, if we're going through something, if we're bound up by something, this is a question that all of us need to ask ourselves. Do I really want to be made whole? Or do I just like being in this bondage that I'm in? Do I like being in prison in my mind? Do I like being in spiritual bondage? Jesus asked the question a lot of times, will thou be made whole? And then he asked some people, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. According to thy faith. Some people don't even believe that they're supposed to be set free. It says, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. According to what you believe, be it unto you. If you believe that Jesus can set you free, you can be free right now. If Amen. You really believe that he can set you free, you can be free right now. You can say, Jesus, you know what? I listened to that lady and that man on that broadcast, and I'm just going to believe that you want me free. So I receive my freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Every single thing that has me bound, God, I release it. I don't want it no more. I want to be set free, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus. And I'm talking about believers. You say, why are you talking to believers? Because there's so many believers walking around chained up. Why you got to be chained up? Why you got to be tied up? Why you still got to be bound and you a believer? We take it so much for granted that we are free. We take it so much for granted that Jesus set us free. We take it so much for granted that we don't have to walk around in bondage. Why am I walking around with my head down? Why am I walking around depressed when the true and living God sent his son Jesus Christ to set me free? He came to set me free from sin. He came to set me free from death. He came to set me free from sickness and disease. Yeah, you might have a physical ailment, but you're still free. You're still free. Okay? Look at Johnny Erickson Tata. She is paralyzed. She's a quadriplegic. But she's still free. You know, God has given her a gift to be able to paint using a paintbrush in her mouth, and she paints beautiful pictures. But she's free. She said, yes, she's going through some things in her life as far as being depressed and stuff. Well, you can imagine that she would have, because she was a viable person. She went diving off of something, and when she got in the water, whatever she hit rendered her paralyzed. I couldn't even imagine that. But I can imagine that if it did happen to me, that I would be depressed. I would be angry for a while. But then again, whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Johnny could be walking around and be just as bitter as she want to be, and then there would be no such thing as Johnny and Friends. You understand what I'm saying? There's Amen. Ministry in people. There's ministry in people. There is so much ministry in people, and they can't effectively do ministry because they're still bound up. Some people are walking around bound up now, and they're living a lie. They're living a double life. They're bound up in a lie. They're living a double life. One life at home and another life at church. They can preach to other people but can't preach to themselves. They can tell other people that you can be free but don't know how to get free themselves. Come on now. It's time for the body of Christ to get up and get free. The body of Christ is bound up with prejudice. Still prejudice in a body? In a body of Christ? People still prejudice in a body of Christ? Are you kidding me? That's a form of bondage.
Amen.
We need to come together in the Spirit of God and allow God to set us free from whatever yoke of bondage it is. Whatever the yoke of bondage is, Jesus came to set us free. He came to set us free. He came to set us free. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself that Jesus came to set us free. He did not come for us to be in bondage. He came to set us free. If he wanted us to stay in bondage, what was the point of him coming?
Amen. That's right.
We got to sit and we got to talk to ourselves. And we got to sit and we got to tell ourselves. That's why when I go to different places and minister the word of God, I like to use demonstration, because sometimes what you say, people don't hear it. But when they see a demonstration, they can see. Because I got my eyes closed right now and I could just see chains. I could just see my hands tied up with chains or with string. And I could just see me breaking loose from those chains and from that string, because I've been set free. And whom the Son set free is free indeed. And if you could just close your eyes and imagine yourself with chains on, or imagine yourself in a prison, and imagine the doors being open and they're telling you that you've been released, that you've been set free, just going through the doors, and you see yourself walking through that door of freedom, then you could be free tonight. Sometimes you got to see it in your mind's eye. You got to see this thing by faith, and you got to believe this thing by faith that, look, it don't look like I'm free, but I am free because the word of God says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Sometimes you just got to see it in your mind's eye, and you got to just see it, and you got to say it. I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free in the Spirit of God. I am free, Satan. I do not belong to you anymore. I am a child of the Most High God. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I am born again, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am no longer bound to my old life. I am no longer bound to cigarettes. I'm not bound to marijuana. I'm not bound to any kind of illegal drug. I'm not bound to any prescription drug. I'm not bound to anything that is not of God in the name of Jesus, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Hey,
and this
man.
Is the word of God. This is not something Teresa's making up. This is something that I still got to tell myself. I still yet have to tell myself. I have to tell myself, look, you've been free from that. Don't pick that up again. You've been free from that. Don't do that. You've been free from that. Satan, you're a liar. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Every temptation that comes unto me, there is no temptation that has taken me but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow me to be tempted above that I am able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that I may be able to bear it.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:13. It says that I learned that scripture a long time ago because I was bound up. I learned that scripture, and I had to say that scripture over and over again. Every time the Satan tempted me with fornication, when I didn't want to fornicate, I said those scriptures. Understand what I just said. When I didn't want to fornicate. See, we actively participate in our bondage a lot of times. And as believers, we know we're not supposed to fornicate, but when we open up the door for sin, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But I'm telling you today, if you take the word of God and use the word of God as leaven and let the word of God leaven the whole lump, we got something to talk about right there. But if you are not free, if you are bound up, you know right now in the name of Jesus that you can be free. You can be free right where you are. Just throw your hands up in the air and say, Jesus. No, say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to be free. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to be free. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to be free from this depression. I want to be free from this spirit of fear. I want to be free from the spirit of infirmity. I want to be free from lying and backbiting. I want to be free, God, from anything that is not of you in the name of Jesus. And God, I know that you are the same. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, I know that you changed not. If you did it and you left a record for us in the Bible, Lord God, if you did it for them, I know you'll do it for me. And I stand on your word tonight, God, because your word says it will not return unto you void. So, God, if you said the Son whom the Son sets free is free indeed, then that means that I am free because I've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been set free by his stripes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I proclaim my freedom in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I have to say that over and over again until you believe it. You might have to say that over and over again until you receive your freedom. But make up your mind right now that you want to stop allowing yourself to stay in bondage. Make up your mind. I tell you that day that I was in this room and I was crying out to God, and it was a cry that was a different cry. It was distinct, but it was a cry because I wanted to be free. I wanted to be free. I didn't want to hold on to that mess anymore. And I cried out to God so much so my husband asked me, was I okay? He was like, are you okay? I'm telling you, but he must have known something was going on because he never came in the room. But I tell you what, on that day was when my deliverance began. I mean, my real deliverance began because I was bound up. I had so much hate in my heart and so much unforgiveness in my heart. I don't know about you, but I went through some things in my life that at right now I still could be, walking around doing stuff to people, because I there was a point in my life where I felt like I'm just going to hurt people because I was hurt so bad. And if you hear people say hurt people, and that is so very true. But I know that it's not the will of God for me to walk around and hurt people just because I was hurt. The people I'm hurting didn't have anything to do with what happened to me when I was hurt in my childhood. Didn't have anything to do with me when I went through that episode of being raped that I participated in. Because if I hadn't have been fornicating or committing adultery, actually what it was, committing adultery, I would have never gotten raped. See, that's what I'm saying. We got to tell the truth. We got to tell the truth. We got to acknowledge our part in it, because if we don't, we're still lying. How do you expect to get free if you're still lying about what it is that's going on? How can we expect to be free? That woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus told her about her whole life and said, the man that you with is not even your husband. He not even your husband. You don't have 8 husbands, and the man you with is not even yours. She didn't say, he my husband. She didn't say, I'm not messing with anybody. She knew she was standing there talking to the truth. She knew she was standing there talking to the true and living God in the form of Jesus. And I'm telling you, she said, yep, you're right. You done told me my whole life, and what you're saying right now is true. It's not my husband. He said, go and sin no more. He said, go and sin no more. You've been forgiven. Now go and sin no more. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell us tonight. Whatever it is you're doing, repent of your sins. Confess. If you got to go back and listen to this in the archives and listen to that one part where I was saying whatever I was saying, because I don't even know what came out of my mouth as far as, you know, talking about being free. But whatever it was, I got to go back and listen to it myself. Because the enemy comes in and tries to take my mind sometimes. He comes in and tries to bring that spirit of depression. He tries to come in and bring anything he can to keep me out of the will of God, to keep me out of doing the ministry of God effectively. See, when God calls us and he chooses us to go out and do ministry, he wants us to be effective in what we do. What's the point of him calling us if he don't want us to be effective? He wants us to be effective because he wants people to be saved. He wants people to be delivered. He wants people to be set free from the yoke of bondage. And guess what? He wants to use you. And if he wants to use you, then come on and get free so he can use you. Come on and get free, that the souls that have been assigned to you to be saved, to be delivered, to be brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. Come on and get free so these people can come out of their sin, so these people can come out of their bondage. Come on now and get free so you can go forth in the name of Jesus and do whatever it is God has called you to do. It might be just to walk around and smile at people, but if you're depressed, you're not smiling at nobody.
Amen. That's so true. That is so true.
And I'm telling you, like I was going to say today in Sunday school, there's where I work. I work at the project. I mean, straight up projects, just like something straight out of Good Time. The elevator doesn't work half of the time. The people in there smoke, they drink, they curse, they lay around with one another. They do all kinds of ungodly things. But it's this one woman who comes in there, and she will sing God's praises and glorify God every time she walks through that door. She walks with a walker, one of those walkers with the wheels on it. She walks with that walker, but I tell you what, she be huffing and puffing sometimes. It sounds like she need to be on an oxygen tank. But that lady will walk in there, and she will give glory to God every time she comes through that door. Now, I don't know what she does in her apartment or when she's outside of that building. All I know is when she walk in there, she always got a praise on her mouth for the Most High God. And I'm telling you, I said to myself, I wouldn't want to live in that hole over there where they live at. But that's where she live, and she's thanking God. She's thanking God that she has a roof over her head. She's thanking God that she has some place to call home. It might not be the best place on earth, but she's not living on the street. And she got enough sense to tell God, thank you. She got enough sense. Because a lot of us, if we was living over there in that project, we would be so bound up and depressed if we wasn't on drugs and alcohol. We would be so bound up and depressed it wouldn't make any sense. And I had to sit there one day and say, Lord, I thank you for my job. Lord, I thank you for my job. Lord, I thank you for my job. Because I'm telling you, it was so hectic over there one day. I was like, Lord, I thank you for my job. I thank you for my job. Because if this place wasn't here, I wouldn't have a job. I thank you for my job, Lord. I thank you. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, that as these people walk past, let me pray for them. Let me pray for their salvation. Let me pray for their deliverance. See, I'm not there just because it's a job. I'm there to do the work of the Lord, and I don't have to be up in nobody's face. I don't have to lay hands on anybody. I can sit there and pray for them as they walk past me. I can sit there and pray for their deliverance. Those that are on drugs, I can pray for their deliverance. I can pray for their healing. I can pray that whatever it is that's keeping them bound, whatever it is that's keeping them from the true and living God, whatever it is that's keeping them from salvation, I can pray for them while I'm there. But see, we got to change our mindset. We got to change the way we think. We got to change our thinking. We got to change our thinking and say, God, I want to live for you. I want to give my life to you. But God, I know I got to be free. I am free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And whatever you need to be free from, there's things that might not be as drastic as fornication. Maybe you're a homosexual or a lesbian. Maybe you are a bisexual and you need to be delivered from that. Maybe you need to be delivered from not making good use of your time that God has given you. Maybe you need to be delivered from evil thoughts. Maybe you need to be delivered from stuff like that. Maybe you need to be delivered from just being lazy and procrastinating. Because I got my hand raised. I'm telling you what, that procrastination thing just comes and bothers me all the time. And when I pray and say, God, I do not receive this spirit of procrastination, things begin to happen. I can begin then to be, I can't think of the word right now. But I'm able to do what I need to do as far as ministry is concerned and anything else I need to do. But I have to talk to that spirit of procrastination and say, I will not be bound up by procrastination. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. My oldest son, who'll be 29 this year, next month, if the Lord allows him to see it, he'll be 20. He has the same spirit of procrastination. But when that spirit of procrastination leaves off him, that boy, he can do some awesome things. He can do some awesome things with graphics and, you know, computer stuff. He can do some awesome things. But see, we got to take authority of our members. We got to take authority over these things that are coming to us. And we got to allow God. We got to allow God to deliver us and set us free. And let me tell you this. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I will ask you to pray for the Holy Ghost. I will ask you to pray for the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is our comforter. He's our helper. See, we don't want to call on the Holy Ghost. He's our helper. Holy Spirit, help me in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, help me in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you see I'm procrastinating, but help me in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to help me in the name of Jesus. Because God sent, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back to us because he said, I'm not going to be with you. I got to go back to my Father in heaven, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here in this world today, and we just forget about him. We forget about the third person of the Godhead. We forget about the Holy Spirit, but he's here to help us. If you need help today, glory to God, and you're a believer, and you don't have the Holy Spirit, I ask you to pray for the Holy Spirit, because God will give you the Holy Spirit. He will not withhold any good thing from you. He will not withhold freedom from you because it's a good thing. He said he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose heart is perfect towards him so that he can bless you, so that he can help you, so that he can help you through whatever it is that you're going through. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. And I also know that I'm going to have to fall back on this very same word that I'm giving you. This is not for you and not for me. No, I'm first. It's coming to me first because I know God, I'm going to have to fall on his word. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I am free. I am free. I am free. And I thank God for being free tonight. This is going to end our broadcast. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have 1 minute and almost 2 minutes left. But tonight, before we end the broadcast, I would like to say to our listeners in the archives, in the chat room, on the phone line, I would like to say to you that if you do not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, that you can become born again tonight. Your sins can be pardoned tonight, right now, wherever you are. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Okay, this is a promise that has been given to us by God through Jesus Christ. We shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost if we ask. So if you want to be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you can just say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on Calvary for my sins. I believe Jesus was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. I believe that Jesus went to the grave and rose again on the third day and is now sitting in heaven on the right hand of God the Father. And since I believe that, now I am born again. I confess it with my mouth and I believe in my heart. Now I am born again. If you said that or something similar to that, you are born again. I welcome you to the family of God. I encourage you to listen to the broadcast again when you see it posted on the internet. I believe it'll be back on tomorrow. I'm not for sure, but I believe it'll be back on tomorrow. If not, it will be posted on my page on Facebook. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon in the name of Jesus. And I thank you so much. And that's you.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child.